Hashem, tonight for the Parshas Vayigash, I'd like to start in a way that's a little different than we usually start. And that is start first with the Halacha, and then Be'ezer Hashem quickly see it's interesting makor in this week's Parsha. At first it seems to be a small nuance, a dot on the screen in the Parsha, but maybe the Yisod plays into a much more significant theme in our Avodas Hashem and in the Avodas Hashem of the Avos in the Parsha. In Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em, Reish Mem, in Sif Chav Dalet, the Rama quotes a very fascinating machlokes, the machlokes between he and the Ma'arik, and the Rama's position in the Darkei Moshe actually comes from this week's Parsha. The Rama writes, Yesh Omrim De'ein Adam Chai B'Kvod Avi Yaviv, that a person doesn't have to honor his grandparents. Torah tells us, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, there's a chiyuv to honor one's parents. But who says there's a chiyuv to honor one's grandparents? And that's the opinion of the Ma'arik. Yesh omrim, of course, that we know that the Rama was very much kofuf to the Ma'arik. He often includes the psakim of the Ma'arik when the Mechaber ignores them. However, here he rejects it. Vein on your leaf. Elo dechayiv mikvod aviv, yoser mikvod aviyaviv. He says, on the one hand, there's a chiyuv to honor one's grandparents. On the other hand, there's a chiyuv to honor one's parents more than one's grandparents. Now, the Ramon the Darkei Moshe points out, and in fact, you know, there's always a discussion, who added the parentheses in the Ramah, but it could be in our own Shulchan Aruch. It already, there's a reference in this week's parasha, because they point to this week's parasha. In Perek Mem Vav, in Pasuk Aleph, there's a subtle diuk that Rashi makes. Vayisa Yisrael v'cha asher lo, vayovo be'er ha-shova, after Yaakov Avinu has turned back into Yisrael, v'atechi ruach Yaakov Avien, and he's going to visit Yosef HaTzadik, vayovo be'er ha-shova, v'yizbach tzavachim l'elokei oviv Yitzchak. He slaughters a korban to the god of his father, Yitzchak. Rashi comments on the Lekei Aviv Yitzchak. So Rashi there says what the Medrash tells us. Chayiv Adam b'chvod Aviv Yosem b'chvod Ziknov. L'fichach tolo b'Yitzchak v'lo b'Avram. So Rashi says that the reason why the Torah goes out of its way to say Elokei Aviv Yitzchak is because that the Torah wants to emphasize that the father of Yaakov is Yitzchak, and therefore, he's praying specifically by giving kavod to his father, to Elokei Aviv Yitzchak. Even though, Rashi says, there is a chiyuv to be mechabi one's grandparent, one's grandfather, and he could have said Elokei Avram as well, but for some reason, that's omitted, and the Torah here is telling us that there's a chiyuv to honor one's father more than one's grandfather. That becomes the basis of the Ramah's position in the Darkei Moshe, and hence his psak here in the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes this medrash that Rashi is working off of. The Ramban asks a very basic question in Pshuto Shel Mikra, and that leads the Ramban to be mechadesh in the world of Kabbalah, and that we're not going to get involved in. The Ramban says, this is one of the longest Rambans in Sefer Bereishis, but the Ramban asks a basic question in Pshuto Shel Mikra on Rashi. The Ramban asks, why all of a sudden, okay, we're going to accept now, there's a chiyuv to honor one's grandparents, and this becomes, according to the poskim, the makar, because the Medrash says that we see there's a chiyuv to honor one's grandfather as well as one's father, except the father comes first. Asks the Ramban, fine, but what's the diuk in the psukim? Why is it that over here it says, specifically the Elokei Aviv Yitzchak, in other places, with Tfilaso, says Ramban, earlier in Perek Lamed Beis, when Yaakov Avinu davens, he says, Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. Let's take a look back there. Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud. What's that? That's when Yaakov Avinu is davening to be protected from Esav, and he says, Elokei Avi Avram, Elokei Avi Yitzchak. So Ramban asks, I don't understand why it is, according to the Medrash, that all of a sudden here, What's going on over here, says the Ramban, that particularly he davens Ve'elokei Avim Yitzchak, and the Ramban is Mechadesh Alpi Kabbalah, what we're not going to get into tonight. This is the difficulty that the Ramban asks. Maybe we could expand on this question of the Ramban and just point out that later on also we see that Yaakov Avinu, when he makes reference to Tefillah and speaking about the God of his forefathers, he in Birchas Yaakov in Perek Mem Ches Pasuk Tezvav, Vayivarech es Yosef, when he blesses Yosef, Vayomer Elokim Asher es Halchera Vesai Lefanav, Avram V'Yitzchak. He mentions Avram and Yitzchak again, and of course, in the famous words of Amalek HaGoel, again, V'Shem Avosai, Avram V'Yitzchak. So there's an emphasis of Avram V'Yitzchak. For some reason over here, which comes to tell us this Chiddush La'alacha, that the kavod of one's father comes before one's grandfather, but over here specifically in this parasha, the emphasis is given. Rabbi Akiva Eiger, in his Tshuvas, in Simen Samach Ches, quotes an answer from a Sefer Levi Aschen of why specifically over here is there no mention of Elokei Avram. Rabbi Akiva Eiger plays with maybe even using for Nafkaminas LaHalacha, and it could be used to answer some basic questions in Shulchan Aruch as well. Let's take a step back. Okay, so we have our Tzarathian. Why is it that over here it says Elokei, specifically Elokei Yitzchak? Even though our Medrash is clear. The Medrash is quite clear. Nevertheless, the Gra points out that the Marik's position really seems to be consistent with a couple of Gemaras. Let's take a look at the two Gemaras that the Gra makes reference to. Kedarko the Kodesh, the Gra only makes a fleeting reference to both of those Gemaras. The Gra just says, on this Sif, he says, on the Marik, he says, Makos Yudbeis Amid Aleph. And then, he quotes a Gemara in Sota Memtes Amid Aleph. The Gra claims that both of these Gemaras support the position of the Marik, who says that there is no Chiyuv. What are these two Gemaras? So first of all, the Gemara in Makos Yudbeis Amid Aleph says that the halacha is that if God forbid a father murders his son, his other son cannot turn into a Gaol Hadam. The grandson does turn into a Gaol Hadam. The son of the victim does turn into a Gaol Hadam. That's what the Gemara Makos Yudbeis Amid Aleph says. Rashi over there seems to insinuate that the reason is, Rashi, it's stronger than insinuate, Rashi says, the reason is because the grandchild does not chayiv in kibud av aim. It's a very strong raya, that Gemara in Makos. So Rav Shlomo Kluger, along the lines of what in the safe in his Shas Tshuva, the Tuv Tam V'Das, along the lines of the Sefer Levi Aschen, suggests the following yishuv to the question of the Ramban. And the Rav Shlomo Kluger is explaining the answers the Raya and Makos, and Levi Aschen is answering the Psukim themselves. But Shnei HaNevi'im Nisnabnu L'davar Echad. Both of them come to the same Yisod. We're going to try to see if this Yisod is Mukhrach. And that is, they give the following teretz, both in Chumash and in Halach and the Gemara Makos Yibbeis Amidav. And they say that the chiyuv to honor one's grandfather is only when one's father is alive. If one's father is no longer alive, then there isn't a chiyuv to honor one's grandparents. So, in the case of this week's parasha, so then there is no longer a chiyuv to be mechaber Avram Avinu, because Yitzchak is no longer alive. So that's why it only says Elokei Yitzchak. And in the sugya of Makos, it happens to be the grandfather murdered his father, but either way, his father is no longer alive. What's the svara behind this? So this is actually a svara that the Stei Chemed advances. The Stei Chemed argues that the whole chiyuv to honor one's grandparents is based on the idea that one honors is showing respect for one's father, let's say three generations of males, one shows respect to one's father by showing deference to his father. It's a way of showing respect to one's own father. But if the father is no longer around, so there's no chiyuv. So Levi Aschein claims that answers what the Ramban is bothered by. And the Rav Shlomo Kluger says that will answer also the question from Makis on Daf Yud Beis. What's the case in Sota? So the case in Sota is a memra where Rav Acha sends his daughter's son to do him a tova, and the son says back to him, "I'm not chayiv to do it to you." It's also the same daf that says that the younger daughter is going to have chutzpah. He says that I'm potter to from doing it. So Rashi says, seems to say over there because the grandson is potter. So the Gra answers that raya, and the Gra introduces the idea that maybe the chiyuv of bnei banim harayim kibanim, that we consider the grandchildren chayiv to honor their grandparents, that's only if it's the son of a son. But if it's the son of a daughter, then the halacha is going to be different. So the Gra raises two objections, and we gave two refutations to this question. However, Rabbosai, I'm not relaxed with any of this. I'm not relaxed with this whole mahalach, Levi Aschein's mahalach, and what Rav Shlomo Kluger is saying, and to maybe actually the psukim this way. First of all, come back to. We're always have a little bit of a closeness to bedtime ritual. At the end of the day, it doesn't explain Hamalach HaGoel. Doesn't explain Hamalach HaGoel. And to say such a shtickle Torah, Mehechi Tesi. Where do you see that the chiyuv to be mechabed one's grandfather only exists when the father is alive? But Yoser Mizeh. The Bach has a beautiful treatise over here on this halacha in Reish Mem, and the Bach, when he speaks about the chiyuv of honoring the grandfather, gives, I think we will count, three different svaras. After all, the Torah only says ishimo v'alutiro. Where does the halachic chiyuv of honoring one's grandparent come from? So the Bach gives, count them, three svaras, and you tell me if any of the three svaras of the Bach, as far as I know, this is the earliest source that we have to really explain where the chiyuv comes from, of honoring a grandparent. And according to the Bach, I don't think any of these svaras fit into Levi Aschein's svar. First, the Bach is medayik again in Sefer Bereishis. This is grandfathers in Sefer Bereishis. So the Bach points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Perech Chafes Pasuk Yud Gimel to Yaakov Avinu, when he is sleeping in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha VeElokei Yitzchak. So the Bach points out the first makar of the Bach is that we see that grandfathers are called fathers. Nikuda. So then somehow, probably on a level of Derabbanan, but there's already an asmachta in the Torah that there's a notion that grandfathers are considered halakhically like fathers. This, the Bach says, is source number one. Aside from a diuk from the Medrash, but what the source of the svara is, that there seems to be the notion that the father is considered like the grandfather. Svara number two that the Bach gives. The Bach also suggests that at the end of the day, we know that the Gemara in Kedushin, a very beautiful Gemara which we're going to have to come back to, the Gemara in Kedushin, that Lamed Amid Aleph, says that when a grandfather teaches his grandson Torah, so then it's Yom Asher Amato Fnei Hashem Lokecha B'chorev. That's as if the grandfather taught the grandchild Torah Misina. It's as if they're recreating Torah Misina. So the Bach says, based on this, we see from here that there's a chiyuv for the grandfather to teach his grandson Torah. In fact, the Rambam is very explicit about this. The Rambam, on a certain level, makes a big deal about it. There's a part that the Rambam seems to forget entirely, but the Rambam makes a big deal. The Rambam starts out in Halacha Beis, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. Kishen, just like there's a chiyuv of the father to teach his son Torah, so too there's a chiyuv for a grandfather to teach his son Torah. So says the Bach, it's an interesting chiddush in Kibbutz Avim, we're not learning Kibud Av V'Em right now. Bach says, of course, if there's a chiyuv, just like the father to teach Torah, then of course the grandchild has a chiyuv to be mechabed him. So, in parentheses, it seemed like the Bach is assuming something about the relationship of Kibud Av V'Em and teaching Torah. Even though the halacha is that one's required to honor one's father who's a Rasha as well. But nevertheless, this is the Bach's second source. The third source that the Bach gives, or the third rationale, the Bach says, is the beautiful Gemara Nida, Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam. He says the Chiyuv of Kibud Av V'Em stems from the idea that we know that we equate Kibud Av V'Em to Kvod Shamayim, and it's based on the idea that there are three partners in a person, father, the mother, and God. And he says, of course, the grandfather and the grandmother, no less. Without the grandfather and the grandmother, then it wouldn't have happened either. So these are three svaras of the Bach. So I just want to point out that all three of the Bach svaras don't agree with this chiddush that the Achronim are bringing out. That the Achronim are claiming that the whole chiyuv stems from honoring one's parents, which, by the way, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvot uses so the chiyuv to honor your older brother, that might be connected to honoring your parents. Fine, the Ramban might say that in regards to one's older brother, that the chiyuv is really honoring one's parents. But over here, mechitesi, all the three svaras in the Bach don't suggest what the Achronim are saying, so we don't have a yishuv in the Psukim, and we don't have a yishuv in the Gemara, Makos Yubeis Amid Aleph. So the Adayin Sarachim and Hadra Kushya Vuduchte. Just a little bit more lumdus and what seems to emerge from the Bach, there seem to be a couple nafkaminas. As we assume that the chiyuv is on the father to teach a child Torah, what about honoring one's grandmother? So according to the second svara of the Bach, that's based on Talmud Torah, so it could be then the chiyuv is only the grandfather, not the grandmother. According to the third svara, Shlosha Shutfim Ba'adam, we all know that Bobi is just as important, if not more important, in terms of Shutuf Ba'adam. So then in such a case, of course, according to the third svara, there would be a chiyuv. Okay. But now Hadra Kushya L'Duchta. We don't understand why over here we have the emphasis on Kei Yitzchak, and we don't understand the Gemara in Makos on Daf Yubeis Amid Aleph. But Rabosai, I'd like to ask you a few more tzarachions before we try to get to the bottom of this sugya. There's a parallel medrash over here that says, we see from here there's a chiyuv to honor one's father more than one's grandfather. The medrash, right before it, says, what do we see from there? Here, harava talmid, if you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, show you mahalchim b'derech, that the two of them are walking on the way, b'tchila, look at this fascinating medrash, who do you say hello to first? You would think, you should say hello, give kavod to the Rebbe. We see that Yitzchak comes before Avram. Avram is the Rebbe. But nevertheless, Yitzchak is given more kavod. So some, the Medrash says, we see from here that you're supposed to give kavod to the Talmud before the Rabbi. So Tzorach Yun, what's the pshat in this? What's the whole Havana Shebo that one, the Ramban talks about that as well. Why is it that the Talmud comes before the Rebbe? So that's Tzorach Yun number three. So again, Tzorach Yun number one is why the emphasis over here specifically Kei Yitzchak. Number two is what is the whole svara of saying that the Talmud comes before the Rav? The way I understand the Medrash is the following. You have sort of this massive pedagogue, the Rav, you know, the Rav. And then you have this Talmidim. So then in such a case, and you're the next generation, so you're not supposed to say hello first to the Rav, but rather you say hello to the Talmud. So the question is, why is that so? The Chura, the source, the Mekar HaDavar, is entirely that. And that would be the parallel of not saying hello to the Saba, but rather first saying hello to the father. Brings out this Yisod. Tzarechi number three, and this is the bomb in Halacha, Rabosa. Bomb, Kasha, and Halacha, and this is what Be'ez Hashem in the analysis I want to start with. In the Shas of Tshuvas, Tshuva Me'ava, he asks a great question on the Medrash, and on the Halacha. We all know the Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Lamed Aleph. It says that if a father and a mother ask you to do something, your father and your mother, and they're contradictory requests, so who do you listen to? You have to listen to your father, not to your mother. Why? The Gemara says, because both you and your mother are chayiv to listen to your father. Ask the Chulamiyama, Devaldik Akasha. Is that so? Let's do the math over here. If the halacha is that the grandson has to be mechabe the grandfather, and his father has to be mechabe the grandfather, what's pshat in the Medrash in this week's parasha? What's pshat in the psak of the Ramah? Both you and your father have to be mechabe the grandfather. It sounds like a razzle-dazzle kasha. But Rabosai, in Brisk, once you break it down, it's the classic Brisker question and answer, because you realize the whole question doesn't start. But it sounds absolutely beautiful. That when I saw the question originally, it sounded so powerful. But when you begin to understand the sugya, you realize that the question mamish doesn't start. But this is the Tshuva Me'avas Kasha on the Rambam. That's Tzarichiyun. What are we up to now? Number four? That's our fourth Tzarichiyun. And finally, Rav Soloveitchik asked a very straightforward question. If I'm not mistaken, where I read it from Rav Lichtenstein's son, it was at the bris of Meshulam Tversky. So at Meshulam's bris, the Rav asked the following kasha. The Rav asked, "What's going on with the halach in the Rambam that we mentioned before?" The Rambam says that if you have your son or your grandson to learn with, you have to learn with your son first, not with your grandson. If I didn't emphasize that point, that's what the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis. He says there's a chiyuv for a grandfather to learn with his grandson. However, if he has opportunity or he has to learn with both of them, so then the son comes first. The Rav asks, but the Gemara never ever says it's so great to learn with your son. The Gemara says when you learn with your grandson, so then you're recreating Ma'amid Har Sinai. The Gemara never describes that about learning with your son. So if you looked at the Gemara seems to indicate that it's a greater chashivus. I think some of us sometimes wish that our grandfather had learned with us, not our father. It's a soft zaydi, it's a little bit easier than a father. That might be part of the teretz already. So why is it that the Rambam says that the chiyuv is to learn with your son first? So let's go to Tzarechiyun number four. The question in the Rambam himself. Rav Asher Weiss, in his beautiful sefer in Minchas Asher, gives a beautiful, beautiful teretz. I hope he won't be insulted that I called it a brisker teretz. But Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Asher is a beautiful tziruf of Chassidus and Lamdas. So Rav Asher points out that the question doesn't start at all, because of a Mishnah in Krisis. The Mishnah in Krisis on Daf Chof Ches Amid Aleph tells us explicitly, when it spells out this halacha, it says the Perish, Ish Imo V'Avid Tira'u Shkulin Hein. Really, objectively, they're equal. There's no way to decide who you should be mechadish first, your father and your mother. They're shkulin, they're equated in the Torah. Men are not greater than the women, and the women are not greater than the men. And the mother is not greater than the father, and the father is not greater than the mother. However, we need to find a solution. There's a halachic conflict over here. Mother is saying one thing, the father is saying something else. So then Chazal introduced, Amru Chachamim Ha'av Koden. So Chachamim came up with a solution. They said, we have a conflict. So then you say, oh, wait a second, let's introduce the following rabbinic logic, and that is, it makes a lot of sense, Chayav b'shteihem, that the two people are mechuyev to listen to the father, both the mother and the child, so therefore the father wins. Zok Rav Asher, but when we're talking about the case of a father and a grandfather, it's ridiculous what the Tshuva Me'ava is asking. There, the Torah particularly obligates one to honor one's father, and there's no explicit obligation to honor one's grandfather. So the kasha doesn't start. It's only if you have shkulim, so then you say chayivato b'shteihem. However, if you don't have shkulim, so then of course the question doesn't even start. You have to get to the bones of the actual din. Zok l'minchas asher. So what do we see from this yisod and lamdus? We see from this yisod and lamdus is that fundamentally the chiyuv of honoring one's father is different than the chiyuv to honor one's grandfather, to the point that it's incomparable to the relationship between a child's interaction with his father and mother. In Kenim Advarim, if that's so, let's take the Rav's Yisod to answer last Sarafim. The Rav said, I'll tell you what the difference is between why the Rambam says there's a chiyuv first to learn with your son versus before learning with your grandson. It's true. There's something special about learning with a grandchild that recreates Har Sinai, because there's a connection, there's an awakening in the child that this Shalsheles is not just something that his father is dreaming of and what's best for him, or his father's Rebbe told him what was best for him, but rather that we're zocheh to be part of a Shalsheles HaNesod. On the other hand, the chiyuv, if you will, in the quantity of teaching Torah, not using the Rav's terminology, this is just, I read this in an essay, so this is, I didn't read this in a sefer that was addressing lamdas. In the quantity of teaching of Torah, so there, of course, the responsibility is on the father, the chiyuv is on the father. There's a chiyuv on the father to teach Torah. However, in quality, there's something that a father can't give over to a child that a grandfather can. But the ikra chiyuv, of course, is for the primary chiyuv is on the father. And it's the father's responsibility, though if I maybe put in my own terminology, it's the father's responsibility to give over keim chayenu varach yameinu. It's the father who's supposed to teach the child the guideposts of life. Grandfather adds a dimension and shows that these guideposts are not something that's just an Eitzah Tova in what's best for your life, but rather it's part of a rich Masorah. That's what the grandfather drives home. It's what he accentuates when he learns with his grandchild. That's so. So now maybe we could go back to the psukim. I'd like to suggest first a chassidish mahalach from the Siva Shalom. I'm going to tell you the chassidus with the Kabbalah, and then we're going to see even if we take out the part of Kabbalah that we don't understand, we'll see that the yisod is a very, very important yisod for us. Let's go back to the most important pasuk, probably in all Sefer Bereishis. It's probably the most important Musar pasuk in all of Torah. And what is that? Ani Yosef, Ho Davi Chai, Lo Yochlu Echav Anasufim. Many, many Mefarshim are bothered. Why is it that Yosef HaTzadik says Ho Davi Chai? He already asked that question. The Beis HaLevi is a beautiful, beautiful muster. I think we've spoken about in the past. I'm not going to be ma'arich. We could talk about it after the shir. But the Siva Shalom introduces a fascinating yisod. He suggests that when Yosef HaTzadik says Ha'od Avichai, he's asking rhetorically, Ani Yosef, are you so surprised I'm Yosef? Ha'od Avichai, our father is still alive. If our father is still alive, then I'm also alive too. Here comes the Kabbalah. Zopt in the Siva Shalom. Fascinating idea. If you believe in telepathy, so then you'll chop it. If you don't, so then it'll stay Kabbalah. Zopt in the Siva Shalom. You know, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu wasn't comforted when Yosef HaTzadik was supposedly torn to pieces, you know why he wasn't able to be comforted? Two basic yisodos in Kabbalah. First of all, and Rabbi said this in himself is a Musa, which we're going to come back to in another 10-15 minutes. A tzaddik whose limbs are so suffused with Kedusha, basic yisod in Chassidus, sometimes his limbs deny what his moach is thinking. Great example is Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, his moach says, do the Ratzon Hashem, do the Akeda. He's not able to send out his hand by Yishlach Yado. He needs to send out his hand against the limbs are so suffused. Sometimes here in Yeshiva, all we talk about is having the mind suffused with Ruchnius. No, Kedusha is an under Madrega also. And we forget about it. And that is that the Ramach Evarim and the Shisag Yidim are so suffused with the Ratzon Hashem to the point that even when the mind says the opposite, if it's Keneged Ratzon Hashem, the limbs can't follow. Says in the Siva Shalom, Avram Avinu had that koach. Yaakov also had that koach. And what happened was Yaakov actually believed Tarov Tarov Yosef. But his limbs couldn't have Nechama because his limbs were soysed than Matthias. Now why did that happen? It happened because of his Kedusha, but for something else. So that Yosef HaTzadik should be able to survive. Because as long as Yaakov's limbs were still mechuvar, were still corresponding to Yosef, then Yosef HaTzadik would able to have the koach to call up the demus diyuk no shel Yosef, shel Yaakov. He'd be able to call up the image of Yaakov Inu. As long as they were somehow on a Kabbalistic level, they were still communicating with each other. Beautiful idea in Chassidus. It's Kabbalah. I don't understand it entirely. I might get myself in a lot of trouble here. I do believe a little bit in the notion of telepathy. I think I've experienced it a few times. But leaving that, and I think in Kabbalah there is such a, there clearly is such an idea. So leaving that notion out, either way, zot the Nesiv Hashem. Now back into the rational world. Says Nesiv Hashem like this, Ani Yosef Oda Vichai, he's saying, I am Yosef, is not our father still alive? If as long as our father is still alive in me and inside in me, so then in such a case it's going, there shouldn't be a surprise. And of course he tells his brothers, tell them, Ani Moshe B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, I'm still a Moshe. Of course, Api Chassidus, what does that mean? I'm ruling over my Yetzirah, even in Eretz Mitzrayim. Why? Because I still have this Chibur. This answers another question. Why didn't he say Ha'od Avinucha? The reason why he doesn't say Ha'od Avinucha is because he's saying it's still Avi. It's still Avi that I am connected to. So Rabosai, what emerges now is there's two different responsibilities of Chinuch that take place. There's the relationship of Yaakov with Yosef, and then there's a relationship of Yitzchak with Yosef. There's the relationship of Yaakov as a child with Yitzchak, and there's a relationship of Yaakov with Avram. And those are two different types of relationships. When it comes to having the guideposts, the demus diyukno, the tachlis of how to be mechanich the child, what he needs to do to be able to stay strong, to be a Moshe b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, that, in the day in and day out, is what the father gives. I spoke yesterday to a Talmud who was beaten by his father. And Chas v'Chalila, the exact opposite thing happens. And whatever the grandfather is going to give, it's impossible. So it's both l'tov and l'ra. And I believe that any certain averos that this individual is nichshal in, I think he's a total onus. It's a total onus. Why? Because it's clearly a product of the guidepost that his father gave him, whatever it might be. So that's the relationship between father and son. Whatever the father gives over in the guidepost to his child, that's something that's going to be his. Then there's another din. And the other din is the moreshes. That's creating the connection to the shalshelas hamisar that Rav Soloveitchik was developing. So now let's go back to Epsom. In this week's parsha, so there, Yaakov Avinu is going back. He's going back to the place where he started out in Beersheba, just like he had gone from Haran when he had entered. So too now he's going to come back to the exact same spot. And where did he get those guideposts? So then he gets the guideposts, particularly from Elokei Yitzchak. However, when he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Vayishlach, when he's giving over the brachos, the mesorah, to the future deiros, so then it's not only those particular guideposts from father to child, but rather there's the whole shalshelas ha-mesorah, the whole moreshes of Klal Yisrael. And there it's no longer Elokei Yitzchak, but it's also Elokei Avram. Because there's the connection to the shalshelas ha-mesorah. So what I'm arguing, Rabbosai, to crunch, well, is that in this week's parasha, there's two unique expressions of the guidepost between child and father. One, when Yaakov Avinu refers back, what we had started from Perek Nevov, when he comes back to Elokei Yitzchak, to be mechazik him when he's going to Mitzrayim, just like he was mechazik Yosef HaTzadik when Yosef HaTzadik says, Ani Yosef Od Avichai. Then there's another yachas, there's another relationship, and that's the relationship of giving the moreshes. Let's come back to Lumbus Ravosai. Maybe now we could explain a little bit more the teretz of the Kli Chemda. A lot of people are mefalpel in the Kli Chemda's teretz to the Gruz Kasha. The Gruz, again, let's remind ourselves, the Gruz asks that the Gemara on Makkos Yubeis Amud Aleph says, Beferish, that the halacha is that if the father kills a grandfather, let's talk about, kills a son, so the grandson is allowed to be a Gol Adam, even though another son can't, because he's chayav v'kvod aviv, but the grandson could be. And the kasha is, the Gra asks, but isn't there a chiyuv on the grandchild to be mechabed? So Kli Chemda gives an answer which many are mefalpel, and Kli Chemda says, for a father who's a Rashi, you need to be mechabed, but for a grandfather that's a Rashi, you don't need to be mechabed. But Rabosai, based on our longus, I think both in Machshava and in Halacha, I think now we have a deeper Havana. Dahainu, a child needs to be mechabed, the father, for the guidepost. We've been talking about a spiritual guidepost, but it's also a physical guidepost. A father has a physical responsibility to his child. So then, even if the father was a Rasha, at the end of the day, the child, Betur HaKar Zatov, the Chinuch writes this, and many Rishonim that write, the big discussion, separate Chakira and Kibud Avim, whether it stems Beinon L'Chavero, Beinon L'Mokum, we're not touching it so much, but clearly there's a component Beinon L'Chavero, of all people, Rabbarach Ber elaborates in a Maseches Yevamos. But either way, the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv on the child to have full-fledged Hakaras HaTov to the parents. But if our Mahalath is right, that it's all based on what, which is closer to the second svara of the Bach, based on what the Rav had said, that the grandfather's responsibility is to give over the Moreshes, and the Moreshes is recreating Har Sinai. So if the grandfather was a Rasha, the grandfather murdered his own father, so in such a case, then of course he doesn't have the Chiyuv. So this Mahalach is what the Kli Chemda says with Tosefes Beir. The Kli Chemda plays around with this idea. Many afterwards have played around with it. But I think once we have this, what the Rav had taught us, and using this idea from the Parsha, so then in such a case, Be'ezer Hashem, everything comes together. Yes? Yes, it's beautiful. So he expresses Elokei Avram, right? There he says Avram. So that's beautiful, because then he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what should protect me is not only what my father had taught me, but I want the whole Moreshes to be a Zchus for me. I think that idea fits fits beautifully. Even though the way we're arguing right now that the primary chiyuv of the day in and day out from the parents is to really give the nitty gritty of the guideposts and negative and positive reinforcements to children, particularly at the age, the earlier age of childhood, our responsibility is as much the grandfather role as the father and mother role. And what I mean is the following. Sometimes we get, and I speak myself as well, sometimes we get so caught up with trying to teach our children right or wrong that we forget to give them a sense of the broader picture of the beauty of the Moreshes of Klal Yisrael. Or warmth and positive associations. I want to give you an example of Tov, and Chas v'Chalila, an example of Ra. Instead of obsessing about making sure that our... There's no question we should try to have our children wash Negel Vaser, wash Matilas and Dayim in the morning. But I know that one of the most inspiring things for me in terms of Matilas Yudayim was as a child, my father is not a chassid. In fact, the Rebbe that I'm about to describe, the Amshinav Rebbe, was my sandik. Not the one here. He's new school. I'm talking about the old school Amshinav Rebbe. He's a great person as well, the Rebbe here. So he was my sandik. My family goes back to Varking, Kutz. So he was my sandik, and at the bris, my father said he almost got into a fight with the Rebbe. But the Rebbe, right after the bris, grabbed my father and he said, "If I came to a Hasidish yeshiva, he's going to go to a Hasidish yeshiva." So my father said, "If I came to my yeshiva, he's going to go to a yeshiva." And my father said he didn't let him go. It was a back and forth of three or four times. So I guess I'm being mekayim by doing Hasidus in YU. So I guess I'm being mekayim the stira on both sides. As a child, I used to go to see the Amshinav Rebbe, not often, a couple times a year. I took my son last year for Hanukkah to hear Beit Vegan. It was too long for him. The Rebbe took a half hour to get the first bracha out. My son stayed through the whole time. I asked him this year if he wants to come. I said, "Actually, maybe I was guilty. As I'm talking it out with you, you know what I said to him? I said to him, I want to go. I couldn't even get in. What's very nice is they let the kids in. So the kids get up in front seats. And I didn't even get in through the door. I was outside of the apartment. But I said to my son, this year I want to stay for the Torah. Because I actually enjoy, I described in the past with the way the Rebbe says Torah. So I enjoyed that. And my son said, I can't stay for so long. And then he lost interest. So it could have been my mistake that I already tried to push for a little bit too much. By the way, so the Amshinav Rebbe Zechon Levracha was my son, like I used to go watch him, and I remember as a kid, when I was seven or eight years old, I remember the Rebbe's Matilas Yudayim. The Rebbe's Matilas Yudayim was mamish like a Kriyas Yamsuf. There were gallons, probably it's a little bit exaggerated in my mind, but there were gallons and gallons of water, and it was an avoidin. Matilas Yudayim was an avoidin. And if you think about it, that's a machlekes between the Rajva and the Rush, but Matilas Yudayim, how do we look at Matilas Yudayim? I got to eat bread, right? So I have to wash. So you wash. Well, you know the halachas. And then you wash, and that's how you're able to eat bread. But that's not really what Matilas Yudayim is. Matilas Yudayim is also an avoda. And as a child, I remember just the image of watching, of the Rebbe look at the seriousness of Matilas Yudayim and turning every single part of the whole experience of then, it was a tish of the yard side, that to me was something that made a profound, profound impact on me. Coming to us today, that's something that we really have to think in terms of giving to our children, is to be able to give over to them that sense of giving them sense of the beauty of the Moreshes. That halacha is not just something that we do, that has rationales and so on, it has a logic, that's part of a beautiful logical system, but there's something romantic and there's something absolutely beautiful, something magical on someone who's truly an Ovid. And to expose them to people who are real Ovidim is something that's very, very meaningful. So let's say a person doesn't daven nusach svar, and a person really doesn't daven so long, but there's a beautiful daven, there's a beautiful halal that you think your child will appreciate, take them to it. Take them to it. Doesn't mean you have to do it every day, but expose them to these beautiful romantic things, because that is something that's a moreshes, that's something that stays with them forever. And we have a responsibility to give them, to convey to them that beauty. And on both sides, there's also something that goes in the other direction. And that, when we're talking to Avreichim, who are budding Talmidei Chachamim, so this is something that's very, very dangerous. And we can't imagine how it could be horace, it could destroy so much without us even realizing. And as Baruch Hashem, we know how to learn a little. When we go into a shul, we've all experienced this already, we go into a shul and the rabbi gets up and it's shvach. It's really weak. He makes a mistake. The drasha is poor. Stam, we have to worry about Lashon Hara, for sure. But now, for some reason, I'm forgetting about Lashon Hara for a moment, because I'm worried about the Moreshes right now. I'm not worried about your Gan. I'm worried about your children, your Moreshes. Your Gehenim, that's your problem. But my problem is what your children are going to be. And when a child sees that we're matniyafes to people that he perceives as rough, he's not going to understand the problem that you're going to have with the Shtikl Torah. He's not going to understand the problem and what the flaw of the drasha. And even if he does, he or she does, and already begun to age, the moment that we allow cynicism, I'm not only talking about being critical, but even cynicism, to creep into the halls of the Mishkanos Yaakov, if our children see our cynicism, so much is destroyed. So much is destroyed. I can tell you, I've seen it firsthand in family, in fellow Bnei Torah, Talmidei Chachamim Atzumim, who are sharp, sharfes, as they say in Yiddish. Very, very sharp. People are very, very sharp, who can't hold themselves back from being cynical about something. They can't hold themselves back. They're destroying their children. They're pushing destroying their children. Because once the child sees that the parent doesn't truly have respect for Mishkanos Yaakov, then in such a case, then the child himself, I've seen this often, the child himself could be very, very, very bright, very capable in learning, and they'll be able to say over Shtikl Torah, but the inside could be mamish rotten. And the reason the inside is rotten is because their parents were cynical, and then they become entirely cynical. So another thing that we have to really work on is not only to give over for sure how to make alumna shalaining on the Gemara, and for sure in earlier stages that they should read Chumash properly, and for sure that they should have a sensitivity to Vigduke Mitzvahs, and for sure that their Bein Adon L'Chaver should be properly. But the sense of awesomeness, the sense of beauty of Moreshes Yisrael, that is the most critical factor in being successful in chinuch. I see over and over and over again in my Talmidim. It hardly has anything to do with how learned their father is, but usually it has to do with how much the father has a sense of avas haTorah mokir rabbanan. The father is a mokir rabbanan, and he puts the children in the right situation, then kaftor v'ferach. However, even if the father is very, very learned, however, the father doesn't convey the sense of excitement and beauty of Moreshes Yisrael, but rather the child hears a cynical comment over here, and there's a lot to be cynical about. For sure there's a lot to be cynical about. There is. We're all human beings are imperfect. And even Gedolei Torah is sometimes imperfect. Kal v'chomer, the average Talmidei Chacham. Kal v'chomer, the average Baal HaBatim. All of us are imperfect. But how do our children feel that we relate to all those imperfections? Does that convey a lack of respect to Mishkanos Yaakov, or ultimately Lehefach? Ultimately they see a sense of the beauty of Moreshes Yisrael, and then they'll be able to say not only Elokei Yitzchak, but also Elokei Avraham.